As Lynette shared with you earlier, we have been ministering on this word of the Lord that Brother Jerry Seville received from God in the latter part of last year, that the righteous shall flourish and that the faithful shall flourish. I think it's important to understand that it's not just the righteous that will flourish, but it's the righteous that are faithful. Thank you for your overwhelming Sunday morning enthusiasm. And we've been talking a lot about how God is faithful. On Wednesday night, we talked about how God was faithful. The following earlier Sunday, we had talked about His compassion, how they fail not. Say that with me, His compassion fails not. Great is His faithfulness. And so we made these comments over and over, but faith comes by hearing. And because God has made you the righteousness of God in Him, then you are the righteous, whether you feel like it or not. Amen. You know, somebody said, well, I miss it. Well, who hasn't? I said, who hasn't? Amen. But you have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus through your faith in Him. Amen. It's not because of anything you did. It's because you had faith in what He did. Jesse the Planet said, our job is to believe that God has done and will do His job. So you have already been made. If you're born again, if you've received Christ, you have already been made. Say, I'm already been made. Amen. The righteousness of God in Christ. But you see, the faithful part is up to you and I. Amen. Now, He's faithful and He's in us. So that means we have the ability in Him to be faithful. Yes. When someone says, I can't be faithful, if they would just say, I won't be faithful, at least they'd stop from lying. Yeah. Belinda, I extend my faith towards your community and the loss of your fellow worker. Yeah. And I pray God's protection over you and everybody that works in the prison system, the Correctional Institute, in the state of Delaware, in the state of Maryland, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, faithfulness, see, is key. Yeah. That scripture says, the righteous and the faithful will flourish. Yeah. Then it goes on and says, those that be planted in the courts and in the house of the Lord shall flourish. Amen. Now, so many people today, they're so easily offended by something that may happen. And it seems like to me it happens in the church world as much as it does in the world. You know, a preacher can say 99 really good things, but let him just say one thing that somebody doesn't like. Yeah. And the first thing you know, they're out the door. We've had people leave our church because they visited another church and that church gave them cookies. You think I made that up? I did not make that up. This family was coming for years and years and years, and all of a sudden they stopped coming, so we made contact with them and said, well, we visited over there and they gave us cookies. I said, well, that's really nice. Amen. Maybe we need to have some cookies in this house. But I don't come to church for cookies. Thank God for cookies. I mean, well, let's just go along somewhere else. But I don't come to church for those things. See, to me, where you're planted, where you go to church, can be a matter of life and death. I've told you the story that when Mom Davis was standing for her healing, they visited a church there in Florida because they wanted to find something closer to home. She's standing in faith for her healing of cancer and ovarian cancer, and the doctor said she only had 30 days to live. Mom said, well, no, I have options. Amen. And so she's standing in faith and lived almost 4 years after the doctor said 30 days. But she went to this church. She and Brother Bob went to this church, and the pastor got up and said, God doesn't heal people anymore today. So Ruth looked at Bob, and she said, that's a deal breaker for me. We're out of here. Now, I'm not saying anything nasty or ugly about that preacher, but she can't afford to sit in that church where the man of God does not believe in healing. Now, I'm not saying he's a bad person. I'm just saying that she cannot afford to be there. Amen? I don't know if you noticed it or not, but when our people pray here this morning, they prayed the Word of God. Nothing gives a pastor any greater joy. Like John said, I have no greater joy than to hear and watch my children walk in the truth. See? And I've heard so many unbelieving prayers, people pray, and I want to be like Wigglesworth. Say, stop him, Lord! Wigglesworth was in a service one time where he wasn't the preacher, and The guy got up and he was just preaching unbelief everywhere, and finally Wigglesworth had all he could stand. He stood up with that big booming English voice and said, "Stop him, Lord! He's filling the air with unbelief." And the man couldn't say another word, and Wigglesworth got up and took over the service. The righteous are as bold as a lion. Amen. Did you find John 8? So, in thinking about this word of the Lord and how we've been ministering about it and listening to Brother Jerry's tapes on it and everything, this is what the Lord spoke to me for today. It's time for you and I in the body of Christ, and I include myself in this. When I'm preaching to me too. It's time for you and I to get rooted and grounded in the things of God. Years ago when I was in Boy Scout Troop 187, Vienna, Maryland, Hee Haw salutes. We had a camping trip outside of town, and we were in an area of woods that was owned by Mr. Clay Webb. Amy remembers Clay Webb. You remember him. And he owned a lot of property outside of Vienna, and we were on his property, and we decided we would put some hammocks up, and we were going to hook them to pine trees that were in the woods there. And I still remember seeing Mr. Clay Webb come out there and push against those pine trees to see if they would support the weight of a hammock and a couple of Boy Sprouts. And here's what he said. Boy Sprouts, that's what I call them. And he said, "That'll be fine because these trees are established." You see, those trees could stand the pressure because of their root system. It wasn't what you could see necessarily on the outside that gave that tree its strength. It was the root system that gave it strength. If you've ever seen, like in a hurricane, for instance, I remember years ago when Hurricane Gloria came up through here, we had this big, huge oak tree that was up behind the southbound scale house on Route 13 where I was working at the time. And when I came to work after the hurricane hit, that big oak tree had toppled over in the wind. And I had no idea of the massiveness of the root system of that tree. I mean, the tree, you know, was maybe 4 or 5 feet in circumference. But the root system was probably 15, 20 feet wide all the way around. So what you couldn't see was giving strength to what you could see. And so you and I have to learn how to get rooted and grounded in the things of God. I have three things I want to share with you this morning that is absolutely, I believe, vital for you and I to be among the group that's going to flourish in this year. Brother Jerry said, this isn't for everybody. This is for those who will be faithful. And I'd like to add, it's for those who are rooted and grounded. The first thing is we must become rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Say that with me. We must become rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 30, "As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue," say continue. Continue. Say it one more time, continue. Continue. "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples, then you'll know the truth, and then the truth shall make you free." I hope you see the progression here in these passages of Scripture. Jesus is saying, first of all, we must continue in those things which we say we believe. We must learn to be finishers. We must learn to not just start the race, but finish the race. Many people start out well. I want to finish well. Do you want to finish well? Do you want to live long and finish strong? Do you want to go out of here, if Jesus tarries, in full sail? Amen? Miles Monroe said for years that he did not want to die empty. And he wanted to pour out everything that God had poured into him before he left the earth. I want to say to us this morning that we must learn to continue in God's Word. Now, as we continue in God's Word, that Word will discipline us. We don't like the word discipline because we equate it with punishment. But in the Scripture, discipline does not equate with punishment. Discipline equips you and trains you for the battle. Amen. Sister Gail was sharing with me before the service this morning that she had had an experience with a simulator and firing a handgun. And she said, you know, she said that it was kind of interesting, you know, this course I was taking. And she said, but my arms got tired and everything. Well, when you're first training yourself, your muscles need to learn. So she was talking about the simulator, and I said, well, you know, when we were in the police academy, we had in service school once, and what they did with us was put us in scenarios. In other words, you'd stand in front of this big screen, 64-inch screen TV, and you had a weapon that had that shot a red laser dart on the screen. It wasn't a real weapon. It was the laser weapon. And they would give you scenarios, you know. One scenario was you were escorting a prisoner from the courthouse to the elevator. And they tell you ahead of time, this is what you're doing. And so you're looking at it from a point of view. You're looking at it from a head camera. You know, what do they call those cameras? GoPros or something. That's what you're looking at. So I'm escorting this prisoner to the elevator. And as the elevator opens, there's a guy standing there with a shotgun. He blows me away. And not for real, just in the simulator. She said, how'd you manage that? So just in the simulator. So I said to the instructor, well, what in the world could I have done to prevent that? He said, stand to the side. So the guy would shoot somebody else other than me, I guess. When I told Gail, I said, you know, it was a learning experience, and several times I shot people that were innocent. And a guy threw a knife at me in one scenario, and once I ducked the knife, I shot him. And my instructor said, great shot, but you just shot an unarmed man. Now, she asked me, you know, she said, but see, I told her this. I said, when something bad happens as a police officer, you revert to your training. And if your training is adequate, then it's instinctive. Now, when something bad happens to you, what comes out of your mouth is going to be based on what's in your heart. Are you listening? How many know stuff happens? If you're here on the planet, stuff happens. You've been here more than 3 days, you've had stuff happen to you. So what's going in your heart, see, the word of God that's going in your heart in abundance will come out of your mouth, and that will be what frames your world. So it all goes back to your training. So when Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you're then my disciples, don't think that the word is punishing you. The word is training you. And you're in training, and if you realize it, you're in a life and death struggle because Satan hates you. And the reason he hates you is he hates God. And you're in God's image, and so therefore he hates you. He's the troublemaker, not God. And so God wants to equip you and I to such an extent that we are so disciplined by the word of God. And the primary way that every one of us need to learn how to be disciplined is with the words of our mouth. Sometimes we are our own worst enemy. We talk so ugly about ourselves that if somebody else did it, we'd want to slap them. But it's okay for us to talk ugly about ourselves, but don't let anybody else do it. We'll slap you silly. He said, if you continue, say continue. Continue. You continue, then that word will discipline you. It'll train you. Then it'll lead you to the place where you know. And the word know means completely, intimately understand the word of God. Not know about the word, but know the word. Amen. Thy word, the psalmist said, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. The truth of the matter is most of us already know enough word to make us totally free. But the issue is, are we being obedient to the truth we know? Because I'd like to add this in here. It's not the truth that you know that sets you free. It's the truth that you obey. Now, once again, we don't obey the word of God to get God to love us. We don't obey the word of God to become righteous. We obey the word of God because we know God already loves us. We obey the word of God because we know we're already righteous, and we know that's it with me. Father knows best. I told you the story about hunting with my dad years ago, and we had woods down below Vienna, Grandfather Willie's property. And when I would first go in the woods to hunt with Dad for squirrels, I had never been in the woods before, didn't really know where to go. Well, there was a pathway in there where a vehicle had cut a path through the woods, and it was circular, so to speak, in that woods. And Dad said, well, son, I'm going to go to the left and you go to the right. And I said, well, Dad, suppose I get lost in this wood. He said, son, just stay on the path. He said, son, there's a path there and you'll be able to see where the wheels, you'll be able to see where somebody's gone before you.
There you go.
Stay on the path. Stay on the path. And so I never was afraid to go in that woods after that because I heard my father say, stay on the path. Yeah. Listen, my brother, sister, let the Father say to you, stay on the right path. Let His Word get so firmly implanted in your heart that it produces the kind of fruit that God wants. We get rooted and grounded in God's Word by continuing. Jesus said in the 15th chapter of John, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done. Now that doesn't mean you can just ask anything. It means if you ask according to His Word that's abiding in you. His Word is His will. This is one of Sister Joanne's favorite scriptures. This is the confidence. 1 John chapter 5, this is the confidence. Say it with me. This is the confidence that we have in Him that if we ask anything according to His will, then we know His will, then we know that He hears us. Amen. And we know that we have the petition we've asked of Him. So what is His will? You find it in His Word. And as I abide in Christ and His Word abides in me, say this with me, as I abide in Christ and His Word abides in me, I'll be asking right. James said there's two reasons why folks don't receive. They ask not or they ask amiss. So let's not do that anymore. Let's let the Word of God get so rooted in us and let us get so rooted and grounded in that Word that we start praying and acting and talking as people that are rooted and grounded in the Word. Go to the book of Colossians real quick. Say, I'm getting rooted. I'm getting grounded in the Word of God. Now notice what he said in Colossians 2, 6 and 7. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established. Now there's that word that Mr. Webb used. Established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Let me see the hands of everybody here today that's thankful for the Word of God. Listen, a lot of things may change in my life, but the Word of God will never change. What God says in His Word is forever settled in heaven, and it will never change. My circumstances may change, your circumstances may change, but God's Word abides forever. As I receive Christ, the living Word, I also receive His written Word. And I allow that Word to build me up and establish me in the faith. And then I give God glory and I give God praise for His Word every day of my life. Let's turn over to chapter 3 of Colossians. Verse number 16. Let the Word of Christ, and one translation even says, let the Word spoken by the Christ dwell, which means live in you, abide in you, remain in you, richly in all wisdom. This is up to us. This is our decision. When you see the word let, that means you're the one that controls this. If someone knocks on your door, you're the one that decides whether or not you're going to let them in. When Satan comes with his thoughts, you and I are the ones that decide whether we're going to let what he says take precedence or preeminence over what God says. The Scripture tells us that we are to cast down every thought that does not line up with the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Cast down every imagination, not all imagination, because thank God for imagination, that gives birth to creativity. Someone said to Walt Disney's wife, the very first time that the day they opened Epcot Center, Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow. Y'all knew that's what that means. And we were there that when they first opened it up. In the opening ceremony, Walt had passed away. And someone said to his wife, said, oh, wouldn't it have been something if Walt could have seen this? She looked at him and said, he did. Amen. And the reason he saw it is the reason you're seeing it. So we don't cast down all imaginations, just the ones that try to exalt themselves against the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let's get rooted and grounded so solidly in His Word that nothing moves us off the Word of God. Say it with me, nothing moves me off His Word. Secondly, we must become rooted and grounded, and I want to spend some time here, in the love of God. See, God is love. God is love. He doesn't just love, He is love. One person said, I think it was Bosworth in his book, Christ the Healer, he said, modern religion magnifies the power of God, but the Bible magnifies the love of God. He said the love of God is like a vast reservoir of water waiting to be loosed by a dam. I'm so glad today that when we receive Jesus Christ into our hearts and our lives, He pours the love of God into our hearts. One person told Pastor Hagee one time in a counseling session, John Hagee in San Antonio, she said, "Pastor Hagee, I can't forgive my husband." He said, "Well, if you'll just say won't, at least you've stopped lying." And you see, you and I have the capacity to hate or love. And again, it's up to you and I to decide what is going to be the motivating factor of our life. Let's go to the book of Ephesians chapter 3. I have mentioned this many times. You've heard me talk about the two prayers that the Apostle Paul prayed for the church. You can pray these prayers for yourself. You can pray these prayers for your family. You can certainly pray these prayers for the church here and the church universal. One of them is found in Ephesians 1, but this one in verse chapter 3 I wanted to highlight to you this morning. He said in verse number 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant unto you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in your inner man." That's your inner man, your spirit man. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith." Now watch. "That you, being rooted and grounded in love." Rooted and grounded in the Word. We've got to come to the place where that's our goal in life. But secondly, get rooted and grounded in the love of God. Not the love of the world, the love of God. The love of God in Christ Jesus. Now, in the world, people use the word love so loosely. "Oh, I love ice cream. I love my dog. I love my wife." If you don't love your wife differently than you do your dog and your ice cream, you're in trouble, Bubba. You are in serious trouble. And the reason is because we only have one word in English for love. But see, God's word for love is agape. Most of you knew that. And that word is a Greek word that's rarely used anywhere except in Greek classical literature. It's rarely used anywhere except in the writings of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. He uses it over and over and over because he wants us to understand that God loves us unconditionally. That He loves us not because of all we've done for Him, but it's nothing else that He has a heart to love us. He loves us, if I could say it this way, in spite of us. Somebody said God loves you just the way you are. He does, and He loves you too much to leave you that way. See, God's love in me and God's love in you should be working its way out in our lives so that our lives are being governed by that love of God. That love is in there. And now this is so key because it says when you are rooted and grounded in love, then you're able to comprehend, to understand with the rest of the saints all the dimensions of that love, the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know experientially for yourself the love of Christ, watch this, which passes all knowledge, which means human knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. The faithful will be filled with the fullness of God. But now, this verse that everybody loves to quote is only possible because of the verses that precede it. Now unto Him, say a now unto Him, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask, think, dream, guess, or even imagine, unto Him be glory and majesty in the church. But you see, that verse works because of the preceding verses. Let me say this. If I'm not convinced that God loves me, how can I be convinced He wants to do those great exceeding things in my life? If I'm not convinced that God loves me, the devil will use the fact that I'm not convinced to condemn me, to bring me underneath his condemnation, to put me in what David Husky called a condo bondo, and bring us into that place where we'll start thinking, well, you know, that's true for so-and-so. That might be true for Jerry and Betty, but that might be true for, you know, Larry and Dark. No, it's true for all of God's kids. But we must come to the place where we're so rooted and so grounded in the love of God. Are you hearing this morning? Listen, even when you mess up, He still loves you. Now that doesn't mean you ought to just go out and intentionally mess up. But He still loves you. Gordon Jensen wrote a song years ago, and in the introduction of that song, it was, "I Wish You Jesus." I never will forget this. He said, the first time I ever heard anybody say it, he said, "There's nothing you can do to make God love you any more than he already does. And nothing you can do to make him love you any less. Oh, the love of God. The love of God exceeds so much what we can grasp with our finite mind. And that's the key to living in the fullness. Brother Hagin said one time, someone asked him, said, Brother Hagin said, why is it seems like my relatives, they don't go to church as faithfully as I do. Now watch what they were saying. They're not as good attenders as I am. In other words, they're saying they're not as good a Christians as I am. And just seems like whenever they get sick, they get healed right away. Whenever they get sick, if they pray, they get healed. But I get sick, I just stay sick forever. Seems like I got to go to a doctor, got to have. What's going on here? He said, well, I don't really know for sure unless the Lord would tell me. He said, but I would tell you one thing. He said, your relatives are quick to repent and quick to forgive. Amen. And she kind of blinked her eyes at him. Said, what do you mean? He said, well, they're quick to repent when they miss it. And I think the inference was, you're not. Now, repent just simply means make a decision to go the other way. Amen. Somebody said, well, that means I'm sorry. Well, yeah, you're sorry because you got in a mess. Amen. But repent means to change your thinking about something. But say quick to forgive. Say that with me, quick to repent. That's you. And quick to forgive, that's somebody else. Well, I don't want to forgive them. Well, I know you don't. I know you'd rather slap them than forgive them. I understand that. Somebody said we're called to love everybody. I know we're called to love everybody. We're not called to like everybody, but we're called to love everybody. But the truth of the matter is, if I fail to forgive someone for something they may have done to me, I'm not hurting them. See, in the unrenewed parts of our mind, we think, well, bless God. I'll just withhold my forgiveness and that'll teach them a thing or two. They could not care less. A lot of people that rained on your parade did it on purpose, and most of them didn't, though. Some of them don't even know they rained on your parade. And you're carrying that grudge around and it's weighting you down. It's tearing you up inside and you're wondering why the joy's left. And forgive. Amen. Well, I don't feel like it. Well, do it by faith. Amen. Forgiveness is a choice. Amen. Now Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe the things that he saith shall come to pass, shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. Now watch the next verse. It doesn't get quoted very often. And when you stand praying, forgive. Yeah. When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against anyone. Amen. That your heavenly Father may also forgive you. Now that doesn't mean that his forgiveness is so conditional on unforgiveness. But what it means is when we're in a state of unforgiveness, our faith is crippled. Amen. I don't want my faith to be crippled because I'm angry at somebody who said something. Dear Jesus, give us a break. Go to Ephesians chapter 4 while we're right here. Verse number 11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. That would be me. For the perfecting or the completing or the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith, not doctrine, but faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, a perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the cunningness of men, the deceitfulness of men, but speaking the truth in love. Now I want to just stop here for a second and tell you that I wish I could tell you I've always done that, but I haven't always done that. But I am trying from here on out. And I made this decision some time ago. My mentor, Brother Ray, when I first started pastoring or teaching and preaching in his church, one of the things he said to me was never take anything personal into the pulpit. Amen. Don't preach from the pulpit something that's personal affront to you. In other words, don't take the pulpit and use it as a whipping post. Amen. Have you ever been in a church where the pastor was mad and you could tell as soon as he started talking? You don't want that. There's a spirit attached to that. And I know sometimes love has to be tough. And sometimes we have to say some things that are tight. But the reason we're saying them, hopefully you can feel the love. I feel the love. And husbands and wives. See, somebody asked Billy Graham one time. Oh, God, here we go. what does it take to make a successful marriage? And Billy said, two forgivers. Amen. Two forgivers. Well, what does it make? What does it take to make a healthy church family? A lot of forgiveness.
Yeah,
yeah, there are going to be times when something's said maybe, or something's not said, or maybe somebody has given some recognition and appreciation, and the other person, well, where's mine? You know, I've had that happen so many times, and you never intended that. But the bottom line of that is why am I doing what I'm doing? Am I doing what I'm doing so that somebody will pat me on the back, or am? That's tight, isn't it? Or am I doing it because I love God? And I want to do it as unto Him. See, if you do what you do as unto Him, it doesn't matter whether or not you're appreciated or not. Don't misunderstand me. Everybody wants to be appreciated. And we should show more appreciation to one another. But after all, that's not really what it's all about. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up. See, by being rooted and grounded in the Word and being rooted and grounded in love, we are growing up. Look at somebody and say, I'm growing up. We grow up into Christ, who is the head of the church, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted or joined by that which every joint supplies. Every part of the body of Christ is important. Dwayne mentioned it a while ago. It's not just the people that are on the platform singing. It's not just the people that are preaching the word. It's everybody's important. Every one of us have a function in the body of Christ. And the more we learn to fit and function where we are, the more we'll flourish. Amen. I did not start out in ministry preaching. I started out in ministry just tagging along with Bob and Ruth and the Davis family and helping them set up sound equipment. I wasn't good at that. We put up sound equipment one night in a little church, and the speaker slipped off the stand and put a big gash in Brother Bob's hand. He still got the scar, but he forgave me. First time I drove the Davis family, they had a van. It was a Dodge van. On one side of the van said, the Davis family Dodge. And on the other side it said, Dodge the Davis family. And when I was driving it, that applied. Dodge the Davis family. The first time I drove the bus on a trip to PRL, I almost turned it over going up on the turnpike. But he forgave me. God forgave me. I said stupid things in the Davis family ministry, and he forgave me. You know, to move up in what God wants you to do, you have to be faithful where you are.
Amen.
And that's the way it works. Amen?
Yes, amen.
Once we start growing in the Word and growing in the love of God, God will find a place for you. Your gift will make room for you. But I want to say this, everybody's important. Everybody's important, from the people that greet you when you come in, to the ushers that receive your offering, to the people that greet our visitors and help them to find their way around our church. When you call people and you contact people that have been absent from church, and you know that, and you don't wait for Lennon or I to do it, you call them, you talk with them, or you invite people that you work with to come to the men's group. All these things are important, guys.
Yeah.
And they're birthed out of love.
Amen.
See, they're birthed out of love. I don't do what I do. I don't do what I do that to impress people, because I found that that's a hard job. Hard job to impress people. You do what you do because you feel that's your calling and that's what God's called you to do. Scripture tells us that we're to be imitators of God. Ephesians chapter 5 says, dear children, walk in love. Be imitators of God and walk in the same kind of love that Jesus gave His life. He gave His life as an offering, a sweet smelling savor. So I'm going to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God, and I'm going to be rooted and grounded in the love of God. Colossians tells me above all else, chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, above everything else, put on love. You know, this morning, most of the time my wife is awake real early and stays awake. This morning she was up at 4. And she went back to sleep, and she normally is my alarm clock. And this morning, about 5 minutes of 7, her snoring woke me up. And so I was 25, well, it was a very light snoring. She was breathing heavy. So I don't even know why I brought this up. Oh, but I'm doing it in love.
Yeah.
So anyhow, when I got up, I had to put on my clothes. Now, most of you know that I select which jacket I'm going to wear, you know, on Sunday, and then she does the rest. She selects the shirt, she selects the tie, she selects, you know, what I'm going to put on. So, you know, she helps me put on things that look good. God helps you put on something that looks the best you're ever going to look, and that's the love of God. It doesn't matter if you got fancy clothes or not, just put on the love of God. Hallelujah. Amen. If it's clean, that's all. Don't worry about it. Somebody said, well, we can't go to that church because pastor wears a shirt and tie. I know there are pastors now who are wearing cut-off jeans, holes in their jeans, shirt tails out, because they're trying to reach a certain group of people. I ain't trying to reach that group. Maybe I need to change that. I'm going to try to reach that group, but I'm not going to dress down like that. What would you think if you came in here next Sunday morning and I had a pair of jeans on, the knees out of them, my shirt tail hanging out, my hair not fixed? You'd think, dear God, who are you and what'd you do with Pastor Jonathan? But see, it's not the external putting on. It's the internal. And you can see the love of God in somebody's life. You can see it in their eyes. You can see that people love God just by looking in their eyes. The eyes are the window of the soul. Say this with me, rooted and grounded in love. And then finally, as we close this morning, the third thing that the Lord spoke to me about being rooted and grounded, is being rooted and grounded in His plan for my life. See, this is an area right here that many Christian people have struggled with, and to some extent, I guess we have all struggled with this to some extent. But in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says this, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Say that with me. By grace, I am saved through faith. Notice he goes on and says, it's not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man could boast. Now watch the next verse. For we are His workmanship. Now the word translated workmanship from the Greek is a word that we get our English word poem from. It literally means a work in progress. In music, it would be called an opus. So we are His work in progress. Look at somebody and say, I'm a work in progress. But the work that He's doing started when we were recreated in Christ Jesus, and we were recreated in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now I want to read this to you out of the Amplified Translation, because in the Amplified, it amplifies it. Amen. And I love this. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10, "For we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship, recreated," say recreated, "in Christ Jesus, born anew," watch this, "that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us to live." See, God had a plan for Jeremiah before he was even formed in his mother's womb. Paul said that God separated him by His grace from his mother's womb, but Paul didn't realize that until the Damascus Road experience. When I was growing up, and I still am, my whole life was sports when I was a little guy. I mean, I wanted to play ball. If it was a ball, I wanted to play it. Did anybody have any problem understanding who Dwayne is rooting for today in the Super Bowl? So, you know, he was like that. And I was so into sports. Sports was it for me. I had no confidence when it came to girls. I was interested in them once I found out they weren't boys. But I never had any confidence in that. So I didn't really date or anything like that per se. But I was into sports. Now, my senior year in sports, I was thinking about my future, my career, what I would do. Well, both of my brothers were state troopers, so I wanted to be in the state police in some way or fashion. And so there was an opening to become a dispatcher at the Salisbury Barrack. I was already working full-time at Western Printing in Cambridge, and I got the job as a dispatcher 2 weeks out of high school in the state police barrack out here on the north side of town, the old barrack, the one they tore down. And I was a radio man, dispatcher, worked in the radio room, three different shifts, you know, in charge of all the three counties and all the troopers we had, which weren't that many at the time, about 25. And so that's how I started my career. I did not know Buster Bosman when I went there, but I got to meet him. And then later on, I got to work with him. And he talked to me about Jesus in a way I'd never been talked to before. Or at least I had never listened before. Let me qualify that. But you see, God was working. God was working. My brother, sister, if you will let God give you the plan, it'll be blessed.
Amen.
If you do what He says, it'll be blessed.
Amen.
The mistake that we all make, and I include myself in this, is we get a great idea. And we say, oh boy, I'm going to go for that. And we go for it without asking God. Whether it's the right plan, whether it's the right time. Are you listening? And then when we get in a mess, we call the pastor and ask him to help us. Or we cry out to God and say, God, why'd you let this happen? And the truth of the matter is if I'll listen to God and you'll listen to God and do what He says, we'll be fine. We'll be absolutely fine. Because He's not going to call you or I to do anything that He's not going to equip us to do. And He's not going to provide for our ways to do it. He has a plan for your life. He has a plan for your life. That plan will be revealed to you in the Word and in prayer and in the Spirit and in obedience. Let me say it again. In prayer, in the Spirit, in the Word, and in obedience. As you continue in the things that God is saying to you, that plan will be unfolded. Again, I know me better than I know you. After I met the Lord, and especially after I met Lynette, started going to their church, this thing got birthed inside of me. Here was a guy who was shy, believe it or not. Bashful, believe it or not. The guy in the high school dance sitting over in the corner dancing with nobody, that was me. Now God is calling me to teach the Word of God. I know, first thing I thought was, God, you're pretty smart, but you made a mistake here. But He didn't.
No, He did not.
But you have to follow that. And you have to have people that will help you follow that. You have to have a mentor. You have to have mentors. You have to have people that will help you and forgive you when you make mistakes. And when you say stupid stuff. I've told you the story about I gave a safety talk to Purdue drivers. And the trooper that took me, he was assigned to take me because it was my first safety talk. And so I tried to use a little bit of humor. I said to all those drivers, I said, the first time I sat here tonight and watched you guys, I said, I noticed that every time your elbow bent, your mouth flew open. And some of them were like you. They didn't get it, you know. So I gave my little safety talk and granted, that really wasn't what I'd like to talk about, but I gave him a little safety talk. I got back in the car with the trooper, and I said, how'd I do? He said, I don't think he'll ever become a public speaker. Every time I see him, I remind him of that. In other words, he said, don't give up your day job. Jeremiah chapter 29, I know the thoughts. Here's Babylon, captivity. Israel's in captivity. Things are not good. Jeremiah says it's not going to be forever. You know, you might be in a place right now you wish you weren't in. You might be in a situation right now that you wish you were not in. Israel was in a situation that wasn't much fun. And a lot of people were saying, this is it, we're done for. Jeremiah came along and said, no, it's only going to last a certain amount of time. And then he said this, for I know the thoughts and the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for good, not for evil. To give you hope, and give you peace, your final outcome. God has a plan for your life. Get rooted and grounded in His plan for your life. Now His plan will change as you get older. Brother Ray over here. How many years you drive for Purdue?
35.
Wow. Somewhere back few years ago. Johnny, how long you been driving for Purdue? 29 years. These guys, Larry, drove for Purdue. 35 years driving a tractor trailer. Well, some years back, he had it in his head. I hope you don't mind me saying this. He's going to be a state trooper. I don't know if I inspired him or what, but anyhow. Probably not. But he didn't get selected in the first group. But there's always, in the first week, a few guys or gals who say, this ain't for me. So one night, correct me if I'm wrong, Barrett Commander knocks on your door and says, be up there tomorrow morning, you're in the class. He's got a decision to make. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See? And he decided, maybe I don't want to do that. And see, you're always going to be discovering more of God's plan for your life. God wants you to marry the right person. We've been married almost 47 years. How that happened, I do not know. And I just want you to know this morning that God has a plan for your life. And if you'll be diligent enough to seek that plan and follow that plan as He reveals it to you step by step by step, everything is going to be all right. You may have some bumps in the road. Everybody does. But a bend in the road is not the end of the road unless you fail to make the turn. And that's where the Word comes in. I don't know if you're getting this or not. Man, this thing is all over me. Now, Parcel mentioned this in her prayer. Psalms 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. See if there be any way in me that's not in line with your will. And lead me in the everlasting pathway. The psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me in pathways of righteousness for His name's sake. I have one final scripture. It's Proverbs 16. Somebody say, thank God for the Word today. Proverbs 16. Lynette, I will need the Amplified for this. Get committed in. Get rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Say that with me. Rooted and grounded. In the Word of God. See, make the Word of God your first resort and your final authority. Make the Word of God the very first thing you think about and the very first thing you put in the place of preeminence in your life. When you're faced with a decision, ask yourself, what does the Word say about this? If you'll let God's Word be the final authority in your life, the first resort in your life, you get rooted and grounded in that Word, nothing be able to stop you. Secondly, always choose the love walk. Always choose to love. Don't let the devil get you out of love with God and out of love with His people and even out of love with the world. The world is crazy right now. Somebody said they've always been crazy. I know, but it just seems like they're on steroids right this minute. And you know it's the spirit that's in the world that's stirring all that mess up. And it would be so easy to throw expletives at them and scream back at them. Those people need love. The Bible says, don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. Proverbs 16, this is one of Sister Roberta's favorite scriptures. Chapter 16, we'll read verses 1 through 3. The plans of the mind and orderly thinking belong to man, but from the Lord comes a wise anger and answer of the tongue. All the ways of a man, now watch, are pure in his own eyes. But the Lord weighs the spirits, the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now watch this. Roll your works, your activities, your life. Roll it over on the Lord. Commit and trust them completely to Him. Watch this. He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to His will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed. Did you get anything out of this morning? Praise God. Stand up on your feet and give the Lord a shout of praise. You guys did so good this morning.